Welcome, everyone, to the Directed IRA podcast. This is Matt Sorensen. I am joined, as always, with my illustrious, heck of a good guy co-host, Mark J. Kohler.
Wow. Thanks. I don't know whether to take illustrious or heck of a good guy. I guess it depends on what circle you're in.
Yeah, either one. I mean, one of them sounds kind of smart and, you know, it's kind of like a word of the day, illustrious. I don't even know entirely what that means. Heck of a good guy is just, you know.
Yeah. That's self-explanatory. Well, welcome, everybody. We're excited about today's topic, and that is, should insurance be used for retirement? Buyer beware. Bring on the hate mail. it's gonna be a brutal conversation. Insurance agents, you're gonna want to take us to task. I know you're gonna start taking notes of everything we said. Everything we say that's wrong. We're gonna talk policies, practicalities, more so than technicalities.
Yeah. So anytime you wade into a topic where someone makes money at it, and a lot of money in particular, some of these life insurance policies, there's going to be a strong defense out there. And we get it. But that is, frankly, part of the problem. A lot of these whole life policies, which we're going to talk about, are very highly commissioned. If someone sells you a $100,000 whole life policy or $1 million whole life policy, they're going to make 10% commission in many instances. They're going to make $100,000 to sell you that policy, $1 million policy in some instances.
Now, the agent may not see all of that. And I already know we got some agents' feathers ruffled. I don't get make that much, and it's over time, and there's this, and all these facts. We get it. But in the words of Matt Damon, great benefits is a monster. And great benefits. you like that? I pulled that out right off the top of my head.
Rainmaker, right?
Yeah, Rainmaker, Matt Damon. What was his name? Yeah. The character's name. I can't remember. But Matt Damon. Yeah, that good show, Rainmaker. And it's tough. I made my kids watch Rainmaker, and they were like, wow. And then we watched Blackwater. Yeah, it's Blackwater or Black, the new one with.
Yeah, like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, that's good. Well, anyway, everybody, thank you for being here. We are going to talk about insurance. We're going to break down a few definitions for some of you that have not purchased insurance. Maybe you've been pitched an insurance policy recently. Maybe you own an insurance policy and don't know what you have. We're going to try to explain, not going to try. We are going to explain the basics and tell you some of the good. You know, insurance is there for a reason. You know, it's been around for how many years, hundreds of years, but it can be oversold. And we're going to explain the pros and cons.
Yeah. So, and I think everybody should have some life insurance in your life, particularly if you've got kids or a family, you know, like people business that rely family. On you to support them. Yeah. A business partner. Mark and I have life insurance policies against each other, you know, to help us carry on the businesses if one of us was able to pass and pay off the estate of the deceased person. We get it. Life, there's lots of great places for life insurance, but do you do it instead of a retirement account? Some people pitch that. Some people sell that. Some people say it's better than a retirement account. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I've got a rant here in a moment on that. But I was a little concerned recently. I got a phone call from our insurance agent and said, Matt was doubling the death benefit on your policy, Mark. And I said, he is? I want you to know, Matt, I got that call. So
dang it. I told him not to call you.
Yeah, I know.
You better watch out. You might want to check the brakes before you roll out of your driveway.
Pelican brief. I may not. You know.
If the car's starting a little slow, you might want to walk away.
Either I got a crappy car or there's a bomb. One of the two. It's really a lot of pressure because if I don't perform at work, Matt's just one phone call away from Bruno.
I'm not messing around. Yeah. I'm not messing around.
It's like, Bruno, pull the trigger. You know, we're ready to go. Okay. Yeah. Now here, one last fun note for those that have just maybe found this podcast, maybe you were looking up the topic of insurance and you're like, who are these bozos? We are both tax lawyers. I'm also a CPA. Matt is the CEO of the trust company Directed IRA Trust Company, directedira.com. We are both senior partners in the law firm, kkoslawyers.com. And we both have best-selling books in a variety of these topics that we're going to be covering today. We've got a very active YouTube following, podcast following, and we stand behind what we say. We're not just out there hawking some sort of investment or policy where we get a commission. We are held to the fiduciary duty rules of a lawyer to give our clients the best advice when they call. And that's where sometimes we have to give hard answers like today's topic. So we're glad you're here. Buckle up. Mm-hmm. We call this hot podcasting. Yeah. You know why?
Hot podcasting?
Yeah.
That's all I thought you were.
Yeah, it's hot because we can't turn on podcasting. The AC in here. It is it is brutal because there's a little hum to the
sound. Yeah. Yeah. Mark's not sweating because of the topic. Yeah. He's sweating because he can't have the AC on. Yeah. Now I'm in Phoenix and AC is a must. That's just, we're just going to have it. So,
I'm wearing my Lululemon leggings though. I want you to let you know.
Oh,
so
thanks for sharing. Okay. Yeah,
it's below the screen here, but just to let you know, goodness. I'm ready to do some stretching. I can do several yoga poses if necessary to get the most out of this hot podcasting session.
Okay.
All right. So do you want to explain the two types of main insurance out there? What do we got?
Okay. All right. So you've kind of got two channels of insurance you could buy on your life. Then you've got term insurance, which is probably more common for people. And this is more just planning for your death. All right. I'm going to buy it. It's usually cheaper. There's not a cash value to it. Or if there is, it's very, very minimal. And I'm basically paying a company, an insurance company. And the deal is when I die, there's going to be a benefit paid to my beneficiaries on the policy. Maybe your spouse, your kids, a business partner, if you got one, because you're buying that policy to protect the business and succession planning. And so that's term policy. There's no cash benefit to it. It might be minimal, but it's not invested in anything. Like the only thing that the insurance company is giving back to you is when you die, as long as you've kept paying all the premiums. Many people don't. That's how the insurance company wins. As long as you keep paying the premiums, you will get the death benefit or your heirs, I should say, upon your death.
And it's called a term policy because there's an ending point. It could be a 5-year term, a 10-year term, 15 or 20 year. And you get to choose the term based on your health and your age. You can go to a calculator on Google right now and 35 insurance companies are paying $10 a click to get you to fill out some form. They want your lead. So be careful what you type in. But you can go and just do the math really, really quickly. And whether you get AAA or AAA.
If you want to find your worst enemy, get their email and their name and phone number and go do an insurance quote for them online.
Oh my gosh. Rockstar coming up through the nose is not fun. So
their email is going to get blown up, their phone, they're going to get called for insurance policy. No, I'm just kidding. But, but yes, that's important on term. And if you're in your 30s or 40s, or heck, your 20s, it's pretty cheap. It's not as expensive. But once you hit, let's say your 60s or 70s, you're trying to buy term, it's a lot more pricey. Because there's more risk for the insurance company. You will die soon and this thing will pay out.
Yeah. Also, if you're older and you have a younger wife, term is more risky too. You just never know. Okay. Got to watch Dateline. If you don't watch Dateline, it's brutal.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's always the spouse.
And I'm sick and tired of it, Dateline. Can we find a few where maybe a few more wives are killing their husband? I'm sick and tired of the husband killing their wives. It's really, I think it's a little jaded, but well, anyway. Okay. Now, a concept that is often talked about, and I, to be honest, am a firm believer in. So spoiler alert. So I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from. But a concept that's used out there is called term and invest. Go out and buy some term insurance. Get a half a mil, get a mil, get a couple mil. Something on you, your partner, your spouse, and get a low premium and invest what you might spend otherwise on whole life insurance, which Matt will explain here in 2 seconds. But term and invest is quite common. I like that. I like to control my investment. I think I can get a better rate of return. And I have the benefit of term insurance during this term that I get to choose. And when and I'm worth more and have more wealth in the future, maybe I don't need that term insurance as well. So I can kind of work my way out of needing it by building up a bigger net worth where my spouse or partner, whoever's taken care of. So term and invest is a concept that makes practical sense to me, and insurance agents don't like to talk about it because tell us about whole life.
And this is why, and Mark, on your thing too, that's why term is a good option for a lot of people. Is like, let's say you're in your 30s or 40s, you've got kids or something, and then if you passed away, your surviving spouse was on their own trying to figure it out, it's going to be tricky. But you know, when you get in your 60s, 70s and older and you're trying to buy term, you should have assets by then. You may not need insurance, and it's going to be really expensive anyways if you have to. So we want you to build your assets, and otherwise, like, I love that term and invest.
And per team.
Makes total sense.
Yeah. And now some of you may want to, when you die, create what's called a trust baby. They're really exciting. You get this big insurance policy. You do not tie it to your revocable living trust, which is stupid. I hate to say that. I will. If any of you are buying insurance, heaven forbid someone told you to put your kids as the contingent beneficiary, because when they turn 18, they get that $1 million policy. And of course, they're going to use it wisely to go to graduate school and buy a 1982 Honda Accord. And they're going to just be really, really careful with that money.
Yeah.
Not. And so.
Yeah, we've seen that. We've seen the family, the car accident. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we've done some estate planning, obviously, over the years, and we've seen these and some people who come to us that didn't have an estate plan. And
topic for another day.
Yeah. A kid shows up, and anyways, they go buy an Escalade.
Get over to our Main Street Business podcast, folks. If you found this podcast, and you're like, who are these guys? You know, this isn't too bad. They're kind of humorous a little bit, even though our humor is a little dry, and we're trying to teach some great concepts. Get over to mainstreetbusiness.com. We have a podcast that has 10 times the downloads as the Directed IRA podcast, because it's been around 10 more years. But get over there, and we have some great podcast episodes on the estate planning topic, which needs to be talked about when you get into insurance, but different podcast. Yeah. Okay, so we go from term insurance, whole life, Mr. Sorensen.
Okay, here's the other one, whole life. Now, whole life has what term has, essentially. You're paying in to the insurance company, and there's a death benefit that will pay out when you die. But in addition to that, whole life insurance also has an investment mechanism built into it, where the money I'm putting in, some of it's going just towards the insurance company to pay a death benefit in the future when you pass. Another piece is getting invested, though. All right. This is building up sometimes called the cash value part of your insurance policy. So when some people are like, yeah, what's the cash value of your insurance policy? This is this value that's building up that you may have access to. And there's ways you get the money out. And there's some tax rules to it, but there's the first fundamental thing, and Mark can explain the other pieces here on the tax and getting the money out. But we have a death benefit, but we also have this cash value and this money that the insurance company is investing and trying to grow for you.
Yeah, and most estimates show that whole life is about 15 times more expensive than term. So if you have a $200 a month premium, or $100 a month, probably a little more realistic, $100 a month term life insurance policy premium, that might be $1,500 a month in a whole life scenario. I'd say most term policies are going to be, for the average individual, about $500 a year. And that's going to get you $1 million. And again, the older you are, the more health problems you have, the more it's going to go up. The younger you are, it could be less. Man, I was in my 30s and had a $220 a year premium on $1 million. It was sweet. Now I'm a walking heart attack. So it's not as it's not as beneficial. Okay. Now on this whole life point, where's all that extra money going to? Now this is about the point we start getting into a rant. So I'm going to be careful, and I'm going to rant I'm going to give you some scary things that I hear all the time, but the insurance premium portion of the term is buried in the whole life premium, and everything else is supposed to. Now, for those watching on YouTube, you're seeing my little over dramatic quotes in my hands, talk about this supposed to and be going towards this investment portion or this cash value. And you're building that up over time. And there's different types of whole life that make this sound even sexier. There's ordinary life, universal life, variable universal life, adjustable life, and all these variations under code section 7200 of the code start to give you what the insurance companies have lobbied for over the years, these flexible ways for them to control those premiums, give you an investment rate of return and a cash value that makes it sound sexy. And you're like, oh my gosh, this whole life policy is the best thing next to sliced bread. And it's like new to you. No one's ever heard of it. People, it's been around for 50 years or more. And I'm probably even 100 years. I don't know, but it's always funny when a client calls me, have you heard of VUL? I'm like, yeah. Have you heard of peanut butter and jelly? You know?
Yeah. So what sparked a lot of this is there's a lot of people promoting whole life insurance, essentially, but they don't call it that.
Mm-mm. Hell no.
They won't tell you that's what it is. Mm-hmm. They call it some fancy acronym of something that's better than a retirement account. And they start touting all these tax benefits to it. Yeah. And this is where the strategy, people are using some truth, but they're stretching it and they're misapplying it and they're overselling it. All right. In the whole life policy world, that cash value, the investment piece of the policy, is growing tax deferred. All right.
Or tax free. Really tax free in a sense. You'll never pay tax.
Mm-hmm.
And you can borrow against it. Wow. Okay. Tax free. All right. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. You can borrow against it tax free. Sure. So I'm throwing the money in. I don't get a tax deduction though. Okay. No, we can't in a traditional retirement account. Yeah. And as that balance is growing, I can loan money out to myself.
Sounds like a Roth, man. Sounds like a Roth IRA. It's growing. I didn't get a tax deduction. Mm-hmm. But why don't we both give kind of a difference between a Roth and a whole life? What would you say the first big difference is?
Well, the Roth, I can invest in what the heck I want.
Mm. Okay. Mm. I like that. The soup du jour.
Yeah, that's pretty. Say anything more? All right. Okay. So, all right. The insurance company is going to put it into something, and some of these companies will guarantee you a rate of 1-2%. Some will
non-guaranteed
rates
of return. Corey, give me my phone. I heard 1-2%. Get my insurance agent on the phone. 1-2%? I'm in. Holy crap. Yeah. That's an awesome rate of return.
Where do I send my money?
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
Now, just think, okay, you can self-direct. And of course, that's what we're all about at Directed IRA. Clients using their IRAs to buy real estate or private companies or crypto or, you know, you can use your retirement account to buy all these alternative assets. Even if you're boring and just want to buy the S&P 500, that's like an 8% annual return over the last 20 to 30 years. So why am I giving the insurance company all this money to give me back 1-2% guaranteed when the don't even try, give up, just buy the S&P 500 fund is going to can get me 8%?
Mm.
No. And does and how much does these this little difference of a 6% spread, by the way, just add up over the years? Yeah. Just 6%.
Yeah. Nothing.
A freaking lot. Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
But that Roth IRA comes out tax-free, totally tax-free.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the first difference. So when someone says, I've got this insurance policy that grows tax-free and there's no risk. Now, here's one of the first rants that really got this podcast going today. Some Yahoo is now calling it there's so many. Every year, an insurance agent or company comes up with a new way to brand this. Same damn thing. And it's either bank on yourself or bank this, or you have your own private banking, and you created your own bank that you can borrow against tax-free. And oh, now the new one today was a TFRP, a tax-free retirement plan. Guy went on for 8 freaking pages explaining why the TFRP was better than a 401k, because it comes out tax-free and it's no risk and guaranteed rates of return and blah, blah, blah. Didn't even say the word insurance once, but said, oh, but this is based on IRS code section 7200. And right there, I was like, life insurance website, I'm buried with it. They just, but this little post of theirs on social media, the TFRP is again smoke and mirrors for freaking insurance policy. So the guaranteed rate of return and the no risk aspect of the life insurance, sure, no risk. See, this is the half truth. There's no risk. It is guaranteed. Just let's talk about the 2%. Guess what?
So
hurts the economy, helps no one.
I'm the insurance agent.
Yeah, that's right.
so you got that going for you.
Yeah.
So that's the first is just like what you can invest in, having greater return options and possibility and likelihood, by the way, of just what you can get in an IRA or just in a freaking brokerage account. Even if you're like, because here's the other thing you'll hear. People will say, yeah, but you can only put $6,000 in an IRA.
Second difference. Love it. I was going to tee it up for you because I've been color commentary today, just ranting. So I was going to let you explain it. But number one was the rate of return sucks. Okay. Can we just say it? Number two, they're going to say, well, you can put a lot more in insurance. Let's overfund this baby and it'll take care of itself. And so you could put massive premiums in an insurance policy. You could only do $6,000 in a Roth or 7. Is that true, Matt Sorensen?
Okay.
Is that true?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Again, this is where there's some half-truths and it's not reality. You can put over $50,000 a year in a solo K for any of you people self-employed. We do that all day long. Even SEP IRAs. Some of you that want to do that have a lot of income and assets where you may really highly overfund a whole life insurance policy, you can do these DB plans and cash balance plans. There's other things to get way more dollars into retirement accounts than you're going to get into a whole life policy.
Yeah. Mega Roth.
Yeah.
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 You can do a mega Roth, people. We can get you $50,000 on a Roth, whether you work at a large company or yourself or whatever. Yeah. We got the backdoor Roths. We got conversions.
You have so many more options. And here's the thing, though, on the money in. Okay, let me just. This is pitched again for retirement. This is what people are trying to sell whole life for retirement.
Okay.
Let's say you're someone that had $500,000 and this is people getting pitched this. Go buy whole life. They're like, just go throw it all in. Let's see how much we can get in there. Let's just do that all into whole life. You're going to get 1-2% rate of return. You can loan that yourself back that money out. Okay. Why am I going to loan myself money back out? I have $500,000 already. Did I get a tax deduction to put that in? No. Okay. So why did I put that in? Because you can loan it back out to yourself. It's my money already. I already have it. And why don't I just go buy a rental property or a few rental properties? Those are going to be assets that appreciate over time, that have income, that are going to have cash flow. And by the way, I can take a loan out against those too and strip out equity on those assets. Why do I need to give a life insurance company? Yeah. What?
Yeah. Now, what Matt's saying is number three. On our list here that you're seeing on the screen of your YouTube, these are the three problems with insurance when you compare it to a Roth. Number three is it's a loan. You got to pay it back too. So you're going to borrow from your own insurance company and have to pay it back. If you don't, the interest rate and the interest that you're supposed to be paying for that loan starts to exponentially grow. And become a liability and a debt and reduces your cash value. And, when I die, my death benefit will pay it off. Sure, but it's your money. It's still your money. Maybe that's death benefit you wanted to go to your partner, your spouse, your kids, but I'm going to go pay off the loan that I had to loan to myself and pay interest.
Yeah. And, you know, let's say that you don't pay back the loan. All right. And it's exceeded the cash value of your policy. The insurance company can make your policy lapse. They can cancel your policy.
Yeah.
If you've had any gains in there, by the way, those are all taxable now.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating. So here's a big important takeaway. We are not against whole life insurance. There are times when it makes sense. Let's now talk about a few times where I think whole life is a good idea. Variable universal life, whatever the freak you want to do. A lot of times in a charitable remainder trust strategy or a life insurance strategy, we have what's called an ILT. It's an insurance trust where the cash value is used to pay the premiums to keep the insurance in place for the rest of your life. You're not going to borrow against it. It's not for retirement, but let's use that cash value to pay the premium. So now you're not having to come out of pocket. So an insurance agent says, let's overfund this insurance policy and it's got a $2 million death benefit. When they start to explain the cash value, say, no. I just need the cash value to pay the premium so I never, ever, ever have to pay a premium again. And I'm not going to borrow against this thing. That yeah. can be a great place to use an ILT. I mean, a whole life is in an ILT. And Matt, you've said too before, I think, like, if I've exhausted all my other investment strategies and I've got money coming by my ears, I'm not saying insurance isn't bad, but you got to be able to maintain this thing. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and I think a lot of people think, well, there's a death benefit here. Okay. Okay. But remember, you could go back to term and have this at a much cheaper rate. And all that money you've been paying, you know, some of the estimates I'm looking at are like six times, like, you know, your whole life policy is about six times that what it would be for term. You could have saved a lot of money and just otherwise invested in other assets that have a better rate of return. But I just don't like the idea that that life insurance is what is a retirement plan. No, that's a plan when you die. That's for supporting people when you die. You ain't going to retire on a life insurance policy. When all the wealth was thrown out on how all the people in America, all the wealthiest people in America whose tax records and information and investments have been exposed, did we learn anything about anyone making money on whole life? Is there anyone in there that was like, yeah, that's what these people are doing. They're doing whole life insurance. That's how they got. That's how they're not paying tax. Yeah. No, none of them. What are they doing? They got real estate empires they built from the ground up. They got companies and entrepreneurship that they started. They've maximized Roth IRAs like Peter Thiel. Okay. Those are the things people did to get wealthy. We have so many people like, this is what the rich do. The rich do this. No, they don't. I'm telling you, we consult them all the time. They don't do this.
No,
they do not.
I don't have one client with a net worth of over $5 million that's doing this at all. Ever.
Never.
Now, okay, let's deal with a couple other specific naysayers. I know that some of you listening to this podcast or watching this on YouTube are going to get the pitch. And I know there's several groups that I know specifically, and I'm not going to name them specifically. One of the founders got burned in the 2008 real estate crash terribly. A lot of people did. And his takeaway from that is real estate's bad. And so there's got to be something better where there's no risk. So he started a life insurance investment type operation. And he goes out and tells everybody, literally, sell your real estate, buy life insurance, drain your 401k, drain your Roth or whatever it is with an early distribution, pay the penalties if you have to, and put it in insurance because you can count on it. Now, I get the point that there's some security there with a 1% or 2% rate of return. But life insurance wasn't conceived and designed for this purpose. Life insurance was designed for a death benefit. And then insurance agents at some point along the way said, oh my gosh, we could sell more insurance policies if we really highlighted this death, this cash value instead of the death benefit. And now people can use it for something other than a death benefit. We can sell these things like hotcakes. And it wasn't ever conceived for that. And people that are down on real estate for one reason or another, or retirement accounts, will try to get you to close everything down and replace it with life insurance. And that is an extremely dangerous proposition. If you want to do life insurance, fine. Couple it with, use it in conjunction with your other investments. But don't go all in. That's the part that just really pisses me off. Not that just the pitch of it's one thing, but to sell everything and do it, that's like, way too far.
Yep. I love it. Okay. Well said there.
I have one other brand. Can I? May I?
Okay. Yeah.
This is on the practical point. Here's my practical point. I bought one of these. So you may say, well, Mark, you know, come clean. You know, if you if you're going to call out this guy that lost everything in real estate that's gone one direction, then why don't you, you know, pray tell and be transparent? So when I bought a whole life policy, it was under the same plan, same pitch. It was actually a friend that sold me the policy. And we kept it going, my wife and I, for about 3 years. And then we had a bump in the road. We were building our business. We were expanding. And I couldn't pay the premiums. Now, here's one of the sales pitches you're going to hear people. Well, if you ever have a hard time paying the premium, the cash value can pay the premium for you. Now, that flies in the face of the whole, hold it. I thought we were buying the, doing this for retirement and this forced savings account, which you're going to see out there too. This is a forced savings account. And, but hold it. Now you're saying, eh, give up on the retirement piece. Let the premiums get paid with that cash value if you have to. What do 90% of people end up with 5 years after they start one of these plans? No insurance policy. They can't keep up these dramatic, expensive policies that make sense on paper. They do, people. I've seen the spreadsheets. I bought the plan. I did it. I've gone toe-to-toe to the point people want to punch me in the face on this because I expose it and I get prior insurance agents have come on our podcast and will not share their name because they're like, Mark, I had to get out of the industry because I knew 95% of my clients that were going to buy that policy would not have it in 20 years because I knew they couldn't sustain it. That's the practical problem here.
Yep.
Ugh, give me some. I just need to punch someone.
Yeah. Have you not been boxing? What happened?
No. You know, my boxing club closed across the street. They went all Taekwondo and they had problems with the building. They sold the regulation boxing ring that I was in weekly.
This explains a lot, actually. I've been wondering what's happened. Where's this, you know, you used to have an outlet for some of this. Now it's the podcast rants, I guess. You used to be able to box it out, you know?
Yeah. I hit the bag in I have a bag in the basement, kind of like Bruce Willis in Red, you know? Yeah. He goes in the basement. What? You didn't like that example?
I get it. I mean, I know you're like big movie quotes if it's like a movie that's worth seeing, but like Bruce Willis Red. What?
Have you not seen Red?
Did that go like straight to
the top
streaming?
No.
Was that a good one?
It's on. It's played all the time on TNT.
Die Hard, maybe. I know what you're talking about.
What, I got to quote Shawshank Redemption that's on every other night on Turner Movie Classics? What, you can't deal with Red and Red 2? It was so good they had a sequel. Oh, I mean, did you notice that Fast and the Furious is that good that they have number 10 this week? Corey, what is it? This Fast and the Furious 13? Nine.
Okay. Sorry.
I have no quote from Fast and the Furious after eight movies.
Because of family.
Because of what?
Because of family. That's the best quote of all.
Because of family.
Say because of family. Everybody knows.
Who says that? Because of family. Apparently, that's an important quote in the Fast and the Furious.
In Fast and Furious, because of family.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, good tip here.
Thank you, Corey. It makes no sense. You should say, I need a trust. Again, because of family.
Seen it, so it makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
See, that's how I feel when you're quoting red, Mark. That's how I feel when you're quoting red. All right. All right. Well, let me just say my little – I felt like that was your closing statement. Was that your closing statement?
I don't have anything else. Yeah. I've already created enough hate mail for about 3 weeks. So.
Yeah. I just really think I just want people to know where's the place for life insurance. It's about replacing income and assets for your loved ones that you may pass on, or a business partner or other things where, remember, life insurance. Okay. That's focus on that. It is not the place to go instead of putting money in a retirement account. If you got a 401k at work, that's company's going to match. That's free money going in there. Life insurance company's not giving you free money. Okay. Max out your contribution to at least get the free match. That's free money. I don't think anybody will ever argue that point. Second, Roth accounts, Roth IRAs, you put money in. It's six. Sure. You can only put 6,000 a year in, you know, I mean, but
at the bare minimum, you can do more.
Yes. Yes. And like, you know, we ran the numbers on a prior podcast of putting 6,000 a year in for 30 years. That's a $700,000 account or at the end of the day. So, again, only an 8%, to assume you buy the S&P 500 type return. So that's what's for retirement. That's what you're going to use in your 60s and 70s to live off of. You're not using a life insurance policy your whole life, loaning yourself out money from what you put in prior. Go use that money to build other assets. Make good investments. Let it grow. Yeah. Let it grow. Or is it snow? I don't know. Let it snow.
Boy, your kids are a little too old for
Maya. Yeah. Frozen was my kids were already passed when Frozen came.
Yeah. I just don't know. I think when you're buying, okay, you ready for a decent quote? Okay. Here's my closing statement. When you're investing in life insurance for retirement, to quote the infamous Bon Jovi, you're living on a prayer. Need I say more? Pen drop. There you go. Yeah. Can you live with that?
I like that one. I get that one.
Oh, okay. That's because Matt's a guitarist. Yeah. Is that what you're called, a guitarist?
Yeah. Yeah. Guitarist. I mean, I don't know. Musician. Like, I play the guitar. I don't say I call myself a guitarist. Mm. You know, it's like if you play music, are you a musician? Just because you can play the piano?
Yeah. Matt rides a bike, and so I've called him a bicyclist. 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 But he's like, no, I'm a cyclist.
He's like, oh, you're a biker? No, cyclist. It's okay.
He wears tight shorts and shaves his legs, so we'll just leave it at that. Well, everybody, I hope you have felt that you've gotten the straight answer on a topic that is very convoluted, very controversial, and convoluted. Those are two different things. And there's a lot of pressure out there. And some of you are regretting that you may have already invested in a life insurance policy. And you're like, what do I do now? Get second or third opinions on what to do? Just like unwinding a retirement account or just an unwinding an annuity or unwinding life insurance. That can be a bad thing rather than just keeping the train going down the tracks. So you've got to really, really be careful. We're not saying to dissolve something you've already started, but be careful going in and getting on the train
and buying
your ticket.
And when you mention that getting out, there's one thing too. There's some surrender problems. When you kind of go to close out a whole life policy, there's these penalties there's these surrender penalties that usually in the first 10 years that you can get hit with. And you're like, well, I thought I'd be able to get the whole cash value out. No, you've got a penalty here. We're holding back a certain amount of money. Whenever there's an investment that penalizes you to try and get your money back, that just doesn't sound right. It's just like, why? I mean, it's invested. Let's just sell the assets and get my money back. No, we charge you a penalty. We need you locked in. In order to make money on this. So, like I said, be careful out there. There is a place for life insurance, usually to protect your loved ones as you pass on. If you have whole life, maybe get a second opinion. It may not be worth putting more money into it. Maybe it is. I don't know. Sometimes you're far enough down the road, you got to kind of, it's a different analysis from someone starting out. But hopefully you learned something in today's show.
And although, as Phil Collins may say, you feel like it's against all odds, you can do it. You will make it.
Fine. You're just trying to throw out. I kind of shot you down on red, and now you're coming back. I appreciate Bon Jovi, Phil Collins.
I'm just proving that I'm a Renaissance man. I'm just trying to stay contemporary here. You are just, you got to up your game in this quote game. That, you know, next like week it. I'm expecting some good quotes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm on it. Okay.
See you.
I'll bring everybody back. See you next week.